After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the word of the Lord.
Right, good evening. Yes, as Chris said, thanks, James. I wasn't expecting it to be quite that bright. I'm Andy, I'm the youth mission leader here, and I'm going to be speaking to you tonight about something really, really exciting as far as I'm concerned. It was quite interesting. I checked in staff meeting on Tuesday. I said, "Rob, is it definitely this passage for Sunday night? Because I'm sure Andrew spoke on it last Sunday," but he said it was. So hopefully we'll have something slightly different for what I think that God's been saying to me to share with you tonight. Who finds parcels exciting? Who finds presents exciting? Really? At least two people. Yeah, great stuff. Fantastic. Who was really excited when they could drive? I was. Totally. Okay, sorry, some of you might be able to drive soon. Or you start something new, a new job, a new school, maybe not so, but a new thing. Or you've got a trip, you've got a holiday, you've got all kinds of stuff. Or does schoolwork excite you? Or the day-to-day stuff you have to do? And who's excited by vegan sausage rolls? I actually like them, okay? or a nice, juicy burger. Oh, you just can't beat a good burger with a veggie burger too. It's great. Galaxy or Dairy Milk chocolate maybe excite you. All kinds of things. Or some people just get excited about life, don't they? They feel alive because they're being the person they're called to be. And right at the start of the New Testament, with a similar framework to Mark, Matthew writes and offers a manual to discipleship. His gospel shares the amazing and exciting story of Jesus, the story of the King of God's people, our Saviour and King, where his story began and how it unfolds throughout the whole Bible is referred to. And what he offers each and every single one of us, should we choose to accept the gifts that God gives us, and to act on those things because of what Jesus has done. And God has chosen each and every single person here tonight, hasn't he, to be his family. Every single one of us, without any exception at all, whilst also knowing each and every one of us and all the struggles and differences we have. Each one of us have things that we're good at or bad at. Each one of us own different things, do different things, and wants to explore different elements of our faith with God. Jesus has just been confirmed as God's Son in chapter 3, whom God is well pleased with. And we're called and chosen by God to be who he says we are. Not what anyone else in the world might tell you, not what anyone else might think. Jesus knows exactly who we are invited to become in him. Doesn't that make you excited, a bit like these people?
Lily, why are your eyes closed?
Because it's so beautiful.
What's beautiful?
Oh, I love Carlton. Excellent. Right. So, I've got a present for someone. Anyone fancy coming and opening my box? Eleanor will.
Yes.
No, nothing is going to jump out. I promise there is nothing going to leap out of this box. Look, I'll even prove it to you. I'll try and open it myself. There we go.
Can I take this out?
Yes. And you can open it up. Open it up.
Do you need
scissors to open a pro? Really?
Just cover it over all the edges.
And I might actually have to give you a time limit, I think, because you're clearly not as excited as the babies on the video. How long do you reckon we should give her? About a minute? Maybe two? Come on. Keep going. Why are you using a shortcut? Come on, you don't need scissors, surely. Oh. See, no wonder none of the young people trusted me to give them a present. Come on. You've had a minute as I trip over the speaker. Come on, hurry up. I hope there's nothing breakable inside. There isn't anything breakable. Well, it's sort of breakable, but it's not breakable. You just need to unwrap the box. Come on. I know it's hard, but just careful. There are safety scissors, so you should be all right. Come on, Eleanor. Come on. Come on. You're nearly there. Almost there. You're nearly inside the box. It'd be horrible if there was another box, wouldn't it? Chocolate, yes! I apologise if you're not eating chocolate. But thank you very much. And you may take the chocolate with you. And
just
leave me with my box. You can keep the bubble wrap too. Please don't sit there going pop, pop. Well, you can as long as I can't hear you. Okay, but sometimes, as that box demonstrated, things can be really, really tough. It can feel like we've got to work really, really hard to get somewhere, to do something, to get to the place we want to be, or move forward. And it can tire us out, actually. I think Ellen was getting to the point where she's like, what is inside this box? I've had enough. But she persevered. Or we take a shortcut, don't we? That's why I left the scissors there. You can take a pair of scissors and just, you can snip through, we can shortcut going the long route or going the tough way. In the first case, but we perceive or we're tempted often, aren't we, to take that shortcut. We can be going on the right way and actually things get tough and we think, oh, if I just go that way, it might be easier. After being confirmed as God's son, Jesus was led out into the desert and he's tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. He ate nothing and became very hungry. I think I'd be hungry by the end of day one, to be perfectly honest. That must have been really tough, but probably tougher than Eleanor opening the box, I would imagine. And it must have been really tiring. I can remember an experience I had quite a few years ago, and we did 5 days of fasting and solitude, and it was horrible for the first couple of days. And then I kind of got used to it. And then we had a massive feast at the end, which was really, really good. And God's chosen people spent 40 years wandering around in a desert, didn't they? God, in Deuteronomy, it talks about and how God wanted his people to be humbled and to test the Israelites to see if they would really obey him. And don't forget that the devil is able to tempt everybody across the whole of time. And some people gave in, didn't they? Sometimes Adam and Eve were tempted by that one little apple and they gave in. Others stayed strong, a bit like Job. But we all are facing the devil's temptations in our daily life. But Jesus shows here his determination and strength to fully experiencing being human, whilst Jesus' basic need was bread. He could have used his divine power to make those stones turn to bread, but he chose not to. He chose to remain in that tough, it must have been a tough place, being not eaten for 40 days. He could have used that power, but that would have been giving in to the devil and the temptation. That would have meant he wasn't perfect. He wasn't willing to fully obey God. In Lent, we sacrifice something. Some of you might have given up chocolate. I think it's great that Lucy, my wife's given up chocolate because we opened a box of celebrations just before we started Lent, and guess who gets to eat them? It's great. Every day I kind of just get the box out and just sit there and, yeah, I am mean. I know. We sacrifice different things to focus more on God, to focus our attention on God. I don't know if you've ever given something up. It's almost, we were talking about it in youth groups last week, and they were like, well, what's the point? You just don't eat it. But it's what you do with the prompt of the thing that you've stopped. Whether you just ignore it or whether you fast for a day. Some of the guys in our roots group were saying they did it, and some people just went, I just did a normal day because I always work through my lunch break. Whereas others of us said, actually, it was really good because I had that extra little bit of time where I could focus on God in the middle of the day, where I would have been preparing or eating my lunch. And we do try and follow Jesus' example. We try and be Christ-like and stand firm against the many temptations that get thrown in front of us. But because we're learning how to be like Jesus, we don't always have that determination, strength, or ability to face those things. It's often easier to take a shortcut, isn't it? A bit like the pair of scissors that Eleanor used to get to her chocolate bar in the middle of that box. But we're invited to focus on and rely on God for our every need. Anyone else want to open the second box? Matthew. There you go. And you're not having the scissors.
Oh, thanks.
Don't need the scissors. I'm not that, well, I do have a bad habit of wrapping every single bit, but I'm sure I left one or two little, because it looks quite a nice box, doesn't it? Actually, it looks quite a nice box. Compared to that box, it looks quite nice. But it is that kind of foily Christmas paper that is a bit un-eco-friendly. He's there. He's almost there. Look, it's so much quicker. He must just be stronger than Eleanor or something. I don't know, but okay, that's the bottom. If you want to turn it upside down, hopefully, here we go. Look, hopefully it's not broken. There you go. Look.
Thanks.
Show everyone what we got. But it's not quite as big as Eleanor's, is it?
Yeah, but.
Eleanor's okay. I'm glad you slowly got there. But that was a bit easier, wasn't it? The box looked a lot nicer than that horrible plastic box and the one that I'd wrapped tape all around. But I don't think your chocolate bar is quite as big as Eleanor's. I think yours is about 34 grams and I think hers was at least 100. It's just not quite what it's cracked up to be. How often do we take the easy path? Wouldn't it be simpler if we just accepted this or that or did this? Not to worry or not to hurt people. We deserve it after all. What we really want is this. But we don't know until you try to make sure you've tested it. Tested it. Who's... Daniel, Tom. Well volunteered, look. Come on. Look, when I was preparing today, I thought, actually, I'm going to make it as interactive as I possibly can. Who's the strongest? Definitely Daniel. Okay, Tom, stand there. Daniel, face that way. Daniel's probably also there. Right, Daniel, what I want you to do is I want you to walk backwards a bit. Okay, as I like to put on that, one like that. And then, Tom, you need to put your arms out. Do not be a Lawson about this. Right, put your arms out. Now, Daniel, Tom, arms up. Now, Daniel, what I want you to do is I want you to fall into Tom's hands and he's going to catch you. Thank you very much. Sorry, I haven't got any chocolate for you. Sorry. We want security, don't we? We want to be sure of something, completely able to fully trust it. Daniel and Tom know each other relatively well, and they were kind of confident that they were going to catch each other. But I'm sure if I got Matthew and said, right, catch me, and did what Daniel did, I might hit the floor or squash him. I don't know which would happen. I'd probably hit the floor, actually, because he's quite quick and he'd just move out of the way. But we want that security. We want to be able to fully trust in something. Or we at least want to see how it's going to react or see what's going to happen or predict the outcome. But often, do we completely dive in like Daniel did without any safeguard? Tom could have dropped him, and he was tempted to drop him for at least half the time that Daniel was falling. And you saw it. We won't completely dive in unless we have safeguards, the ability to control the outcome and maybe look at the result. And there are parts of the Christian faith that really require faith, plain and simple. Because actually often the things that the world offer us and the box or the present or the gift, the thing that the world is offering might look good, but actually on the inside, it's not quite what we were expecting. It's not quite as big as what somebody else might have. And the parts of the Christian faith, we simply need to accept the mystery about parts. Because we're not going to know the bits about the mystery of God. And we often kind of say, no, it shouldn't be like that because the Bible says this, and that's what it should be like. And we try to diminish that mystery. And there are things written in Scripture that we need to simply accept, or we miss something about who we are through Jesus or who he is meant to be. And there are parts that we probably just won't ever truly, fully understand. Yes, explore them. Yes, pray through them. Yes, open them up and look into them. Discuss them with God and your trusted peers. But don't fall out over them or set tests that are either impossible to pass or so possible that they're no test at all. Because often what we find when we open up what we've looked at or what we've tested, it's not as great as we thought. I'm trying to work out, there's my last box. The devil challenges Jesus to test God. The devil surely had a good idea of what might happen if Jesus had given in. He knew what he was at stake. He knew what he could win. He knew what he could do. But he didn't have the power to do it. The devil knows that when we misuse scripture or we misuse our faith or we push into the wrong things, that we can get so wrapped up in what it looks like or what we think it should be that actually we spend so much time debating it and exploring things that are just meant to be a mystery that he completely distracts us from the gracious gift that God has for us. The abundant life that we can find in that gift of grace. The fullness that provides each and every person that simply accepts parts of our faith in the same way that Jesus was fully accepting of God. So wrapped up in the wrapping or that we take an easy route, the path of least resistance. Satan's final temptation is simply worship me and I will give you all this. And that plays on our human need for significance, doesn't it? For quick and easy solutions, for something we want now, not something we want to go on an adventure for. Not something that we want to go off and travel somewhere or walk somewhere or do something to explore it. It says a part of our church is to go on an adventure with God. So often we're just a bit tired or we'd rather just sit in and watch Netflix than go on an adventure. So many things in popular culture like that present promise something. So Matthew may or may not have thought, Eleanor had to work really, really hard and she got a big bar of chocolate. That present doesn't look quite as bad. So maybe if I go for that one, I'll get a smaller bar of chocolate. But often the things that the world promises are quite hollow. And I'm not going to rant on about social media because that's often the thing people pick on. Because we are much better off back when we didn't have social media. But also, in some ways, we really weren't better off when we didn't have social media. One more box. Right. Who would like to open my last box? Oh. Any volunteers? Sheila? This one might be the riskiest one. I'm just warning you now. I don't think there's a jack in the box in there. That's the best one. Ah, but have you looked inside?
No. Oh.
No. Oh, hang on. Oh, yeah. Oh, look, some inside.
Oh, what have we got inside? Go to look under the blue box at the back of the church. Oh, right. Okay.
And if it's all right, Sheila, I'm going to carry on talking while you go and look for that blue box and see what's underneath it, because you might find something you never know. Clue. Other side of the church. While Sheila looks for the box and follows what's inside or reads what's inside, there's guidance inside. Let's think about what tonight's passage and what I've talked about. Jesus was at his weakest in the point at which he was being tempted. He was fully human. He was starving and he was hungry. Excellent. Have you read what it says on them? So you can share that out later on if you would like to. It says on the two bars of chocolate, go and share this good gift. So Sheila's gone on an adventure. She's gone in the Bible. She's found something in there. And that's told her to go and try this, to go and find something, to seek out something. She's sought it out and she's found two massive bars of chocolate that say on them, go and share this good gift. Now that's her choice, whether she takes them home and eats them or whether she shares them. Jesus was tempted in many ways. We can be tempted at our weakest point to take a shortcut, use a pair of scissors just to snip something so it gets out of the way so we can clear it away to meet our need. We can be tempted to trust our own understanding and test God and Scripture to the point and the result where it's either impossible to gain understanding or it's so easy that it's no test at all, and ignore the mystery of God, ignore the gift that we're offered, that present. And sometimes the world distracts us and leads us down the garden path, doesn't it, and shows us something that is so great. So we think, yeah, that must be what God's thinking. And then inside it's not quite what we were hoping or we imagined. And it's that one thing we're offered from that perspective. It is simple, but sometimes we have to go and do something with it. We're offered a gracious gift of love by God, a fulfillment of a covenant relationship with Him, where He sends His Son to die on a cross for all our rubbish decisions. All those shiny boxes that we thought were great, that were hollow, all those things that we decided that we should do, but we didn't necessarily, all those feelings, all those actions, all those naff decisions that we make, Jesus was a sacrifice on our behalf, so we don't have to face the wrath of God. Yet we don't only have that single choice, do we? We can choose to accept that gift of grace that God gives. You can choose to accept the chocolate. But there is a second decision. The second is to explore life and go on an adventure. And sometimes that might mean sacrificing things and giving things up like we do in Lent. But that also means taking things up or doing things differently. To go on an adventure exploring what the Bible says, and the commission at the end of Matthew to go out and share that gift with others. And that's the decision that each of the person that has chocolate has. They can either stuff it in their mouth and enjoy it, or they can share it. But that's their choice, in the same way that it's our choice to go on an adventure with God or not. Jesus sacrificed for 40 days to give us that gift of grace. A part of his journey, part of the Bible. The Bible tells his whole story, and I think Stuart was saying about actually the fresh perspective he's got on the Bible, reading it in complete massive chunks in the space of weeks, not years, just seeing that whole story of the Bible unfold. And young people, we're going through the different storylines and the different elements that run throughout the whole Bible from start to finish. It's a whole thing. We can't just pick out one bit or the other. But we do need to accept that gift of grace and that invitation of Jesus to then go out and share that with everyone outside this place. Are you challenged enough by the gift of grace, by what Jesus sacrificed, by what he did when he was tempted for 40 days? Is that enough of an example to you? Or what he did when he went to a cross for all the stuff that we do that's rubbish? Are you challenged enough so much that actually next week, next month, those non-Christian friends or non-Christian people you meet on the street are going to be sat here next to you next month? Are you excited? We talked right at the start, I talked about something so exciting. Actually, I was buzzing this morning. It was I had to confess to the teenagers that I didn't aim for it to happen this way, but I confessed it this morning, I'll confess it again. I was buzzing and I was so excited because there were no young people at 9 o'clock. It was a bit sad. So I listened to this guy who had a great name, Johnny Rocks. It was quite a funky name. He was a good speaker too. But and then at the 11 o'clock, we were sat outside in the youth group talking about calling. And then we got to a point, and I said, well, what do you want to do to change the church in there? And they were like, we want tea and biscuits before the service. We want to play some game that involves your phones, because it'll be funny when the old people can't use their phone. And talks that are a bit more interactive. I thought, right, okay. Tea and biscuits we have at the end. Well, we have tea at the end. And then we do have biscuits sometimes. You have biscuit. I was like, oh, what do I do? Oh, I know. So I came and asked Ellen a question. I was coming to finish, but I think this is quite right to share. And I said, oh, what do you reckon? Would Rob mind if all the young people prayed for people at the end of the service? And Ellen went, no, I don't think so. And so I went back to the young people and called their bluff and went, oh, guess what? Ellen says it's all right. And they were like, great. Not quite that useless, sort of odd-looking. And then we carried on talking, and they got a little bit fidgety because they're thinking, is he going to make us go in there and pray for complete strangers or not? And I was like, am I going to make them do it? And I probably wasn't. And then Eleanor opened the door and went, Rob's okay with it. And I was like, ah! And everyone went, and then I was like, right, okay. I know. I said, right, we can make this simple. We can go back in and you can just quietly, respectfully go and sit with your parents because God might be doing stuff for them. Okay, that's option one. Option two is we could go and stand at the back of church and see what's happening and just watch the ministry happen and see what God does and look from the back. And they're like, okay. I said, or you could just go in and go and pray for people. No. So I was right, okay. Off you go, I will follow you. Whoever's at the back will stand there and we'll talk about what's going on and maybe some of you will be brave enough to pray. So we'll walk in and stand at the back. Rob stands here and goes, and come forward for prayer because our young people are going to pray for us this morning. And everybody just went, we're going to what? And we gathered and I said to them, I said, look guys, you've got a choice. This is totally your decision. No one is going to judge you or think any less of you if you simply go and sit back with your parents. Or you can stand here with me. People will pray. God will do stuff. You can stand here with me and we can watch what goes on. And if you want to, go forward. Or you can just go pray. And they're like, and then one of them went, I'll go if you go. And they went. All of them went. Every single one of them came to the front and just started praying for people. Now, they didn't stand here and kind of, oh, holy heavenly Father, Father. They just stood, prayed, and saw, waited to see if God had something to say to them, to the person, or what God was doing in that person. And that step of faith, you saw them, although they were like, their faith and their belief in going on the adventure took massive steps up and massive steps forward. And bless them, there were two young people that they were here for the first time ever. And I let them off. They went and sat with their parents. But everyone else, you could see how they kind of came to the front and they started praying. They were just like, we can do this. And that's what I'm going to leave you with tonight. Are you challenged? As we give things up or take things up for Lent, we do those things, yes. But are you challenged enough to do something with the gift of grace that Jesus gives you? Do you want your non-Christian friends or neighbours sitting here next to you the next time we're here? Be it next week, next month. Maybe you can wait till we have another guest speaker. That's entirely up to you. But that takes simple little acts and steps of faith for that to happen. Because I was really excited. And this gift of grace that God has got has to be and is really, really exciting. We just kind of take it for granted sometimes.